طيب. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد على آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. Tonight we'll talk about a very notorious lady before Islam, very dangerous against Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and the Muslims in general. Her name is Hind bint Utbah bin Rabi'ah bin Abd Shams al-Qurashiyah. Before Islam, she was very known. And of course, when she became Muslim, she was also very known. She was the mother of the Khalifa and the Emir of Mu'mineen, Muawiyah radiallahu anhu arda'ah, the writer of the Wahy, the writer of the revelation of Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. She also, during the Battle of Uhud, she contributed in the killing of Hamza radiallahu anhu arda'ah. She did even take the noses and the ears of the Muslims as souvenirs when they were killed. She also contributed in many verses, many poems against Islam and Muslims and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This lady, let's start by her story first. As a Qurayshi lady of a noble family, which is related to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but not very close to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Born in Mecca. And when she was born in Mecca, her father married her to a man. This man was very, very generous. So much so that he had a special place. And this is, by the way, the practice of some of the Arabs nowadays. They had special place for guests, open. Come at any time, eat, drink, free. So he had this type of accommodation, especially for the guests. Now, when she was with the husband, of course, as we said, very generous person, and well known amongst the Arabs, especially the Meccan people, with his generosity. And also, older than this lady. Hint. One day, he's from Bani Makhzum, the husband. One day, he thought of relaxing with his wife at the guest house. So they sat together, she relaxed, he relaxed, and then she fell asleep. When she fell asleep, he remembered something, so he left. Now this house is a guest house. People come without knocking the door. So a man entered the house. When he entered the house, he saw a lady. He didn't know who was there. When he saw the lady, he immediately said to himself, why should I enter? Then he left very quickly. When he was leaving, the husband saw him. So the ill thinking now happened. He didn't stop to talk to him, to say that it was a mistake, I don't know who's there, and I don't know that you closed it or something of any excuse. He didn't say that. He left very quickly, fleeing. The husband immediately came, and when he came, he kicked Hind, his wife, his leg, and she woke. Said what? He said, who were there a while ago? He said, who was there a while ago? She said, I don't know. I've never seen anyone. He said, no, there was someone here a while ago, and you did something with him. Go to your father. Now, she lived for her father. Of course, she didn't know what happened. Really, what happened? Why is he accusing her of that? Because he saw a man or not so? She didn't know that. Now, when this happened, she went to her father and stayed at her father's house. People started to talk. When they started to talk, her father, Utbah, said to her, "Now tell me, seriously, if you did it, because people are talking now, if you did it, we'll send someone to assassinate him, so we could stop it. And if you didn't do it, tell us. We could go to one of the magicians, one of the orators, we can ask them and see." She said, "Wallahi, I didn't do it." She had the oath with the using the same as the non-Muslims at that time will use. Of course, with Allah wal Udda. She didn't use Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name. And her husband, of course, when he spread the news, Utbah, he's from Bani Makhzum. His name is Utbah ibn Mughirah al-Makhzumi. When the news spread, of course, his family is supporting him, and her family couldn't say anything. So now, one of her family is to stand against this man. And then they said, okay. The father said to all the Qurayshi people, "Now someone is talking about my own daughter, and everything he said is lie. And we'll prove this through going to one of the oracles of Yemen." They said, "Okay, we'll accept that." So the family of the husband left, the family of the wife left, and there are a group of ladies with Hind. Now Hind, with a group of ladies, going there, leaving of course together. After days, they arrived near the place of this oracle from Yemen. When they arrived, by the way, the oracles of the magicians, Arabs used to go for them for judgments. And most of them at that time, magicians will use jinns to tell them about what happened. So they will be confirming, not because they know the unseen, because the unseen is two. Complete unseen and partial unseen. The complete unseen is only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I tell you what is going to happen tomorrow in Lebanon, say, "I don't know." "What's going to happen tomorrow at your house?" Say, "Well, apart from the normal thing, you don't know. This is the future. Allah knows it." But if I tell you what happened in your house 5 minutes ago, this is the partial one. Because someone knows. Because there's someone there. Or maybe someone there. There should be someone who's knowing that. If it's in the past, and there's someone knowing it, it's not unseen totally. There's someone who would know it about it. It's just like if I tell you now, that I've been told now, I'm here all the prayers about, now we have 20 minutes or so, more than 40 minutes in the mosque. And if I tell you 10 minutes ago, someone broken into such and such place and happened such and such thing, that's not unseen, especially nowadays. Maybe someone called me. But during those days, it is something, wow, how do you know? They used to use the jinns to tell them. Especially of the incidents. That's why when you go to a magician, how do you know? They will ask you about what is your mother. And they will tell you your past life. They tell you, yeah, that's right. So they convince you that they know everything about you. And then you get fooled by what they tell you about. Now, when they arrived very close by the magician or the oracle, now they said, she started to cry. And then when she started to cry, her father, Utbah, who's one of the leaders of Quraysh, said, "Why didn't you do that before? Why are you retreating now?" She said, "I'm not retreating because I'm afraid that I did it. No. I'm retreating because I'm afraid that if he could be wrong and say it in the wrong way, and I will be defaming the whole family. I don't want to do that." She's not only concerned about her own self, but also for the family. Then he said, no, don't worry about this. I'll sort this out. I'll figure out if he's a liar or truthful. So when they arrived, he took his horse or donkey aside and put inside the vagina of the donkey a seed of wheat. Wrapped it and left it. He went to the oracle and then said, for the magician, and then said to him, okay, before we start, I kept something for you as a secret. He said, well, then he told him, it's a seed inside a female horse. He said, that's right. Then now tell us about these ladies. So they have all the ladies. He doesn't know Hind. Now, and have never ever met Hind. Now he's to tell them whether she is or she is not guilty. Now, every now and then he'll pass near a lady, touch her shoulder in the back and say, free, pure. And when he comes near Hind, just imagine what would the father think, what would the husband think, because the husband wanted to be confirmed and the father wanted to be disconfirmed. Then when he touched her, and of course he said to them, stand, you are pure. Then when he came too near to her, stand, you are pure of the purest, not like other ones. And you will give birth to a king. Then immediately, the husband grabbed her. Then she said, no, just leave me. And if there will be a son, I don't want him to be from you. A king, I don't want him to be from you. I'll never have anything to do with you. So she left him. Now, when she left him, two of the well-known and famous Arabs came to ask her hand. When they came to ask her hand, she was so intelligent, by the way. Very intelligent. Described by many historians as one of the intelligent ones. She said to her father, the first one, you made me marry him without my concession. Now the second one, second marriage, you need to tell me and consult me. He said, all right. Now two persons came to ask her hand. And then her father is also very intelligent. He said, I'll give you the description of them, not their names. Then he started describing the first one. He said, the first one, very generous, very handsome, and of the elites, very good to his family, feeds him good, takes care of them, and if his wife wants to do anything, he wouldn't object. And then mentioned something along those lines. The second one, of the elite, very intelligent, very tough, and if his family are not going the right way, he will straighten them. And if he doesn't like anything, not his way, he will make it his way. Very tough, and sometimes he will beat. And then she said, well, if I choose the first one and I have children from him, they will be stupid. Because I'll be the one who's looking after everything. It will be my way. And I want someone to deal with me, to have the other side. And then she said, the other one, very intelligent, and this is the one that fits me. Then he said, that's Abu Sufyan bin Harb. She said, I accepted him. Now she married to Abu Sufyan. When she married to Abu Sufyan, Abu Sufyan, by the way, is one of the well-known leaders of Quraysh. He knows poetry, and he says poetry. He's one of the rare orators who would be in the battlefield telling people to fight, and they will be fighting because of his words. He encourages them to do that, especially during Al-Yarmouk when he was encouraging them. She was encouraging them to fight for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala almost many years after when she embraced Islam, and Abu Sufyan was also there. Now, she married to Abu Sufyan, then gave birth to Muawiyah, then gave birth also to Yazid, all of them the sons of Muawiyah. Now, of course, the king that they predicted was Muawiyah, who was one of the writers of Wahy, the revelation of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and one of the fuqaha. Now, when she married to Muawiyah, of course, then giving birth to Yazid, she married to Abu Sufyan, then giving birth to Yazid, etc., and Muawiyah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa religion emerged. She immediately objected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa religion. She was very tough in what she believes in. And not only those who are on the line, on the fence, because some people are on the fence. They are with their people, but they don't support them. Just like you see the Muslims. Yeah, Muslims, but when it comes, we're just in the fence. We don't make it clear that we are with Muslims, and we don't make it clear that we are against Muslims. You have to make it clear that you are with the Muslims in any form. Of course, peaceful way. Now, when this lady saw Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she objected Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with all means. And of course her husband, the same. Both of them the same. Now, Abu Sufyan, if you remember, was the leader of the expedition coming from Ash-Sham, from Damascus, through Medina, then to Mecca. When it was to be attacked, then the Battle of Badr happened. And then her father was killed in the Battle of Badr. When the news came, before that, one thing that I should mention, when she was in Mecca, of course, she of course contributed in the persecution of Muslims in everything, by her words and also by actions. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was besieged inside Shu'b Amir with his family from Banu Hashim, only one from Banu Hashim, only one person did not go with him. That was Abu Lahab. She met Abu Lahab. And then Abu Lahab said, "Hint, I didn't go with them." He said, "May Allah reward you for that." He said, "I want to make it clear that I am with you." Look at this. He made it clear that he is with them. If you know something supporting, for example, a company supporting people bombing Muslims somewhere, you make it clear that you are against this by not buying them, for example. Even if it's up to yourself, you just make it clear that you are against it. You are with the right, with the justice or with the just issue, okay? Now, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam migrated and left Mecca, his daughter, Zainab, was married to one from Mecca. It was actually one of her cousins, one of Khadija's nephews. Now, she couldn't leave first, and then she decided to go. When she wanted to go, he knew that she's going. She came to her. SubhanAllah, there are some passionate moments at the life of any red-headed or strong-headed person, just like Umar radiallahu anhu. One day he saw a lady who will be migrating and leaving Mecca for Abyssinia. And when she left, she said to her Hassan, "Don't make Umar see us." Now, when she was leaving, she left. After that, she forgot something. Her son, he said, "I'll go back and take it." And on the way back, Umar saw him. And he said to him, "Where are you going?" He said, "We're going for Abyssinia. You persecuted us." He said, "Well, okay, may peace be with you." Then when he talked to his mother, he said, "Well, I will not ever think that the donkey of the son of Al-Khattab will embrace Islam. Not even, don't tell me that Umar is you're thinking that Umar might embrace Islam. Because this might tell that Umar might embrace Islam. And later he decided to kill Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, this lady, Hind, she was very, very passionate. And when she saw Zainab, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's daughter, she went to her and said to her, "You know, what happened between us ladies is different from what happened between men." She's her cousin. She said to her, "If you need anything, tell me. I'll help you out." Zainab said, "Wallahi, I knew that she's truthful." Because she was proposing to help. But she said, "I was afraid that she might tell others." So I said, "No. No, I'm not. I'm thinking of something else." Now what happened? The brother of her husband, Zainab's husband, took Zainab, wanted to leave Mecca for Medina. And it was midday. So the Qurayshi people stopped. And then he said, he had his arch, he said, "Wallahi, if anyone comes near me, I'm going to kill all of you." Then Abu Sufyan came. When Abu Sufyan came, he said, "No, let's talk." And then he approached him. And he said to him, "Don't do this just broad daylight. We have nothing to do with his daughters. We are Arabs. We don't want Arabs to talk about us and say that he's butchering us and taking us prisoners of war there and we let his own children go. You don't do it at night. And now Arabs, all of them are knowing that we are letting her leave at broad daylight. You should stay a few days till people stop talking and sneak at night without anyone knowing it. Don't do it like this. And trust me, if you do it, we'll try to hide it. Just go." That's Abu Sufyan. Now, because this is, sometimes you have a genuine, authentic kind of love toward the pride of the tribe. He was looking after the pride of the tribe. They don't want to talk, to do something against the daughter of, because she's the daughter of someone. And not like others, they will be jailing and bombing everyone. No. Bombing everyone because they are related or not related to the person. No. For example, if someone did something, they'll come and just smash the whole house. That has nothing, that is not part of the genuine good nature of any human being. You deal with the person who's dealing with you. So they dealt with Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not with his daughter was a Muslimah. She was a believer, radiallahu anhu wa'allah. Then after a few days, she lived. SubhanAllah, at the same time, Muhammad sent Zayd, Haritha and others to bring his daughter. So she came with Zayd, radiallahu anhu wa'allah. Now, after the incident of Badr, when Abu Sufyan returned back, and as we said, her father, Utbah, was killed in the battle, she decided, because when they arrive from the battle and the Qurayshi people will see the camel of such and such person, the ladies will scream and tear their clothes. And when the camel and horse of her own father came, she did not even shed one tear. And then she said, "I don't want to shed one tear. So if Muhammad knows about it, will say, 'See what we did to her.'" She cried. She said, "No, I will not give them that victory. I will not touch any oil, perfume, or even sleep with my husband till we revenge." And they started to prepare all the Arabs and everyone with them. She talked to Wahshi. Wahshi is the slave of Jubayr ibn Mut'im. And he was very good in killing with the spear. He's an Abyssinian, very black. She said to him, "If you kill him, kill Hamza, he's related to Muhammad. If you kill him, I'm going to make you free and give you many things." He said, "Okay." Wahshi, who later embraced Islam, he said, "I went with them, not for anything, but for killing Hamza and getting my freedom." Now, when they decided to go, to go and take ladies with them in the battlefield. They're going from Mecca to Medina to fight Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the Battle of Uhud. When they decided to do that, and ladies to be going with them, Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl and many others said, "We don't want ladies to go with us." Now, there are a couple of ladies, about 15, wanted to go. He said, "No, we don't want them to go with us. We want you to stay back." She said, "No, if we're going with you, we're going with you." And she convinced all of them. She said, "Are you afraid that you might lose the battle?" Because she knows how to talk. They said, "Okay, just come with us." She convinced them. Now they went. And on the way, when they approached Medina, she said, Al-Abwa, which is where Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's mother grave is there. She said, "Why don't we, where is the mother, his mother's grave? We want to dig it and take the remains. So if something happened, we'll exchange the remains with the prisoners of war." And then people came running to Abu Sufyan. I said to Abu Sufyan, "Look what your wife is saying. She is proposing this." And he said, "Wow, that's a very strange one. We shouldn't even think of this." Why we shouldn't think of this? Because if we do this, our enemy would do the same to us. We shouldn't do that. It's not because they are desecrating the graves. It's not because they are doing something morally wrong, because they don't want others to do it to them and to take the remains of such and such to them and just exchange it, just like what's happening nowadays. Remains are remains. Now, he said no, and so the idea was cancelled. Now, when Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam back in Medina, telling the Sahaba about this, the dream that he saw, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, "I saw cows being slaughtered. And also, I saw a very slight thing in my sword. And I saw that I am in a very fortified castle." He said, what did you interpret that with? He said, "I interpreted that the slaughter in my own people. And the thing in my sword is one of my relatives will be harmed." And then he said, they said also, what did you interpret the fortified place? He said, Medina. But the Sahaba and Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to fight an urban war inside Medina. But the Sahaba said, "We want to go outside," especially those who did not contribute in the Battle of Badr. They wanted to go on revenge as well, because they are coming to them to fight them. Now Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Okay, we'll go and fight outside Medina." But when they said, "Maybe we forced Muhammad to go outside, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we'll tell him to come, to just make it inside," he said, "No, khalas, it's been decided, we'll go outside." Now, when they had the place, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam arranged the army, and he told them specific orders. The army of the Muslims was 1,000. And when they were going, just near the battle place, 300 of them defected. How did they? Ibn Ubay ibn Salul, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he's the leader of the Munafiqeen, the hypocrites, said, "Well, I will go with my own people, because there wouldn't be any fighting. Why should we bother? Just leave." Muhammad was angry. The Sahaba told him, "Let's fight them. These are now our enemy from within." He said, "No, no. What would people say, that we are killing our own people? Because they don't differentiate people from outside." Now, he said, "No, just leave them." 700 people with Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and 3,000 from the Qurayshi tribe coming to fight Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Of course, they have their drums with them to urge the army, everything to urge the army. At the start of the battle, Muslims were winning the war. And Hamza was doing a lot to them. Hamza radiallahu anhu arda was just doing a lot to them, to an extent that no one could stop at his face. No one. There was someone with the mushrikeen who used to come to any one of the Muslims who's been injured and just cut his throat. And he was doing a lot to many Muslims. And then Hamza saw him. Hamza came to him and he cut his throat. He said, when Hamza hit his throat, I thought that he didn't touch him. But it was so quick that the person stood. And then afterwards, everything just like what you see in the cinemas. It was true. Because it was so quick and so sharp that the head stayed for a while and then fell. Now, and then he came very near to the place of the ladies. And of course, he doesn't know who's coming with them. And he was about to hit the lady. Who was that lady? Hint. Then he stopped, because she was a lady. He said, I don't want to kill a lady in the battlefield. Then he left. While he was doing this, radiallahu anhu arda, Wahshi, of course, very near. He was hiding behind the tents. When he saw Hamza, he hit Hamza in his throat with his spear. And Hamza was coming to him. He said, just few meters from me, Hamza fell. Otherwise, he's coming to kill him, to finish him. Even the spear inside Hamza radiallahu anhu. Said, I stayed till Hamza. I was satisfied that he died and lived. Hamza, of course, was very near to the camp of the mushrikeen. Now, Hind is waiting the news. Hamza came and said to Hind, Hamza, Hind, I've killed Hamza. So he killed your father, we killed his uncle. She was very happy and she started to scream her happiness. And she started to say poetry, praising themselves and praising their own gods and goddesses. And then she gave Wahshi all the jewelries that she had. And then she went to the Muslims, to the Muslim army, and mutilated the bodies. Cut the nose, ears, and make them as pieces of art, just like necklaces, earrings and everything. And all the ladies with her did the same. They gave the jewelries to the slaves and they took the same thing. And subhanAllah, if you have a leader, whether in good or bad, will be followed. She was a leader in bad. They followed her. And she was the strongest. They followed her. That's why it's very dangerous, especially if you have a kid. If you have a kid and this kid is going with a bad company, make sure that they are not very strong in evil. Otherwise, they'll get him in trouble. They'll get her in trouble. Make sure that they are good and very strong, effective in good. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْقَرِينَ as the poet said, إِنَّ الْقَرِينَ اللَّهِ بِالْمُقَارَنِ يَقْتَدِي. When you have a friend, it will be almost an identical. Same. You'll be the same. That's why it was very, very important. And it is very important to be aware of who you are with. Look at the rights. It needs 3-4 people to do something silly. What happened? It becomes uncontrollable. Look at anything. It starts with you, evil ones, and then it becomes outrageous. No one could control it. Because people imitate things. And by the way, people could be hypnotized by the action of others. Maybe first we say it or we do it intentionally, but sometimes we just do it unintentionally. Like if you are, just like what happened especially for example in the mosque, okay? In the mosque, let's say, there are many chairs in the mosque. People are used to sit on the chairs. Do you think during Muhammad's days, there were no elderly people, disabled people? How would they deal with it? They would sit on the ground. And sometimes, wallah, you'll see strong people praying on the chairs. They got used to it. Not because they can't do it, If you don't train yourself, you just get used to it, and because you see many people doing it, that's it. In the good side, if you hear someone reading, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, at the end of it, Wal Dhaleen, you say Ameen, even if it's not in Salat. You say it because this is almost becoming accustomed to it. Now, this lady, Hind, took the 7 years of, or 7 years, the noses, the ears of the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they left for Medina, for Mecca. Now, when they left for Mecca, or about to leave for Mecca, Abu Sufyan, who also was very, very, he hated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the most. He came to Hamza and had his spear inside Hamza. Hamza is dead. And one of the Arabs saw him and said, why did you do that? You can't do this to a dead person. He said, no, please keep it, don't tell others. Because I'm doing it because of the hatred that I have inside for this person. Then he left Hamza radiallahu anhu. Now, when they arrived in Mecca, celebrating the victory, of course, saying the poetry about their victorious times against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, after a while, of course, they had the other battle against Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the Ahzab, about 10,000 people coming to fight Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam inside Medina. When Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to do Umrah, the mini pilgrimage, which is not the one that happened in during the Hajj season. It could happen at any time, where it comprises of having ihram, doing the tawaf, praying too, doing the sa'i, and then shaving or cutting the hair. Now, this lady, of course, she hates Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the 6th year of the Hijrah, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to come there, he came there. And who notices what's happening there? And what they are doing? Muawiyah, her son. Muawiyah, the son of Hind, and the son of Abu Sufyan. He notices what the people of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are doing to him. And how do they sacrifice themselves for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Then he decided to embrace Islam. Then he embraced Islam by himself. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. When he embraced Islam, secretly, he went to his mother and said to her, I embraced Islam. She said to him, did you? She said, yes. He said, okay, don't ever tell your father. He will be very angry with you if you say anything to him. Because he hates Muhammad and his companions. Don't do that. He will stop from giving you money. And he will even persecute you just like others. Now, 2 years later, when they broke the treaty, and Muawiyah came, Ibn Abi Sufyan, to Muhammad ﷺ to confirm it, because they killed the allies of Muhammad ﷺ during a very well-known, excellent battle that Muhammad ﷺ had, which wasn't really a battle, it was just like a conquer because there were no fighting there. When he came to confirm the conditions of the treaty, or the truce, when he came, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refused to do that. He didn't even talk to him. Now, when he came back, they were actually expecting Muhammad to come at any time. Now, when Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came to Mecca, it was very sudden. No one knew about his coming. 10,000 soldiers outside Mecca. Abu Sufyan saw the lights, 10,000 lights, fires. Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, every one of you, light a fire. 10,000, imagine that. When he saw it, he said, wow, that's so much. Then Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's uncle, who embraced Islam, went to find someone to tell about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's coming. Then he saw Abu Sufyan, the leader of Quraysh. And he said to him, come with me. Let's talk to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went to talk to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The story is told. To cut it short, he talked with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and spoke. And he said to him, Abu Sufyan, embrace Islam. He said, no, I had doubt about that. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, okay, bring him tomorrow. SubhanAllah, in the morning, he embraced Islam. Then Al-Abbas, he said to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Hakim ibn Hizam also embraced Islam at that time. Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle, Abu Al-Abbas, he said to Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Sufyan is the leader of Quraysh. You should give him something, a virtue. Then Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, okay, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be saved, will be secured. Whoever enters his or her house and close it will be secured. Whoever enters the mosque and stay in it will be secured. Whoever enters the house of Hakim ibn Hizam will be also secured. Now, Abu Sufyan had only a few minutes to go and tell people this. So he came to tell them, Muhammad is coming and there is no way that you can fight him back. And then he said, whoever enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be saved. And his wife was looking at him. Said, what are you talking about? Are you saying we're not going to fight him? He said, well, there's no way that we can fight him. Then she wanted to stop him. And then the people said, your house wouldn't be enough for us. What should you do? He said, whoever enters his house and close it will be also saved. Then she started screaming him. She said, come and kill this traitor. Come and kill this fat old person. Just come and kill him. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He said, wallahi, I know what I'm talking about. You can't fight them back. She was very sad. Now, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam entered. And this lady couldn't go out and fight. She went inside the house. At night, she was thinking. And then she had a dream. Radiallahu anha. Now, when she had this dream, she saw many things. They said in three nights, and some say in only one night. This lady, she said, I saw this dream that I was by myself trying to find a place. And then I was called by Hubal, the leader of the idols for the Meccan people. And then she said, when I was called by him, I wanted to respond, but Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam called me. So I went with Muhammad. And then she said, I was in the other dream, the next day dream. She said, I saw that I'm almost taken to hellfire. And I looked at it, and I saw Hubal. Hubal is calling me to come inside. And then I looked back, I saw Muhammad taking me with my clothes and pulling me back until I couldn't see Hubal. And she said, in the morning, I went to a little statue that I have to worship. And I started kicking it. I said, we didn't benefit anything from you. She started to slap it on the face, and slap it on the face. She says, well, there's nothing that you could do. There's no benefit from you. And in the morning, she said to Abu Sufyan, I wanted to go and embrace Islam. Then Abu Sufyan, because he embraced Islam yesterday, she said, what happened to you? Yesterday, you were saying such and such, and now you're changing? She said, when I saw them praying, and I saw them doing their sujood, I thought that this is the first time in my lifetime that we are worshipping truly. Before, we're not actually worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she said, when I saw them doing ruku', sujood, and standing, qiyam, I found out that this is really the true religion that should be followed. Then Abu Sufyan was very smart. He said, well, after what you've done, don't go by yourself to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should go with someone that is very close to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So she went with Uthman radiallahu anhu. Other narrations that say she went with Umar radiallahu anhu. Then when she went with Uthman, she went with the ladies. Almost the same ladies that they went with her in Uhud, they're almost with her to embrace Islam. You look at the company. That's why if the leader of the tribe embraces Islam, the whole tribe does. When a famous person embraces Islam, by the way, it doesn't only affect, maybe he's not embracing Islam, but he's still doing some silly things. But that affects the followers badly. That's why Muhammad ﷺ will deal with the leaders in a very specific and very, very generous way. Now, Muhammad ﷺ, she came. Muhammad ﷺ didn't know anything about her. He didn't know her. And then Muhammad ﷺ started to talk to them and to tell them. And then he started to say, "You pledge allegiance to me, Muhammad ﷺ, that you don't associate any partner with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you do not steal." And then she said, "There's something that I should ask for." And then Muhammad ﷺ continued. That's actually at the end. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, also should not fornicate and do adultery. And then she said, "Well, is it really feasible that a free woman would fornicate?" She wasn't even imagining that a righteous woman, a woman who's a free woman, would fornicate or do adultery. Rather than to say, "Yeah, we will pledge that." She said, "Awatazni al-hurra." Now, and then Muhammad ﷺ said, "And don't kill your own children." Then she said, "Well, we brought them up when they are young, and when they are old, they went to you and you killed them." Then Muhammad ﷺ started to laugh. Umar started to laugh, and those around started to laugh. And Muhammad ﷺ recognized that this is a hint. But she was very truthful. And then he said, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala killed him, son of us." And then he said, hint. And he read the ayah at the end of Surah about the bay'ah for the ladies mainly. And then she said to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "You mentioned something about stealing. Abu Sufyan is very tight, very miser. He doesn't spend that much. And he doesn't even give me enough. Can I take from his money? Because I can't really, I should." Then Abu Sufyan apparently was very close. And Muhammad ﷺ said to him, "What do you say, Abu Sufyan?" He said, "Well, something that you could survive on. Not everything." Then Muhammad ﷺ said, "Take what you would need. Not more than what you need." Now, this lady, after embracing Islam, she was actually welcomed by Muhammad ﷺ when he saw her later, and then she saw Muhammad ﷺ. Muhammad ﷺ said, "Welcome to you." Hint. This lady is very important now, because she was so against Muhammad ﷺ, and when she changes, she will be also so with Muhammad ﷺ. She said to Muhammad ﷺ, "Before Islam, wallahi, there was no one on the face of the earth that I hate the most more than you. And there's no one that I wanted to be humiliated and defamed like you and your family. But subhanAllah, now there's no one on the face of the earth that I love more than you. And there's no family of any family that I want to be elevated and high position like your family." Muhammad ﷺ said, he almost confirmed what she said, and then he read some Quran on them. Then Hind said to Muhammad ﷺ, "Okay, give us your hand so we pledge the allegiance." Muhammad ﷺ said, "No. No, I don't shake hands with women." And it was narrated that Umar radiallahu anhu was telling them everything. Then he said to them, "What I say to one lady is similar to what I say to 100 ladies." That's what Muhammad ﷺ said to them. So, and they didn't shake hands with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the pledge happened. After a while, this lady radiallahu anha wa ardaha gave Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, sent something for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then she said to the slave girl who was bringing the food for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have some sheep, but they are not good enough, because we want to have some more so we can actually be generous to you. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for her and for her sheep. To an extent that the lady then related that they had so many sheep. Because he was hot-tempered and Abu Sufyan was hot-tempered, they couldn't live together that long. They separated in a way. Now, during the days of, after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of course, she stayed in Mecca, but after the death of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Umar radiallahu anhu arda continued. Abu Bakr, then Umar radiallahu anhu arda. Now, when Umar radiallahu anhu arda took the Khilafah, he had Yazid, her son, as one of the emirs of Umar radiallahu anhu arda. Now, Yazid was very, very good. And he was also very intelligent, radiallahu anhu arda. One of the well-known Arabs, very close to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the family, and also very close to many of the Arabs, muhajirin, in the family. And he did well, radiallahu anhu arda. Now, when he died, Umar radiallahu anhu arda is the one to bring the news for them. It's to bring the news for Abu Sufyan and Hind. He came to them and said to them, your son died. Of course, they were very sad. And he was the emir. And then she asked, who did you replace with? And then he said, with Muawiyah. He said, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate you. She was thinking of the future as well. Muawiyah is to replace his brother, Yazid, because he died. Now, she was very close to Umar radiallahu anhu arda, and Umar used to ask her and to consult her. During the battle of Yarmouk, this lady radiallahu anhu arda was there, and Abu Sufyan was there. She was telling them, fight for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She was encouraging them radiallahu anhu arda. And of course, Abu Sufyan was the spokesperson and the orator that tells them and told all section, telling them that it is your fight. If you are defeated from your side, it will be a defame for you and your family to come. So they were actually encouraged by what he said. Because if they were defeated, especially from their side, so everyone will be defending their side. And it's not only the words that I said, it's more than that. Because they understand more in poetry, basically. Now, she radiallahu anha wa ardaha took her own business. And then she borrowed from money from Umar radiallahu anhu wa ardaha. The money that she borrowed radiallahu anhu wa ardaha was from Bayt Mal al-Muslimin, from the budget for Muslims. When she borrowed the money, she told Umar radiallahu anhu wa ardaha, I want just to go and sell and buy. Umar radiallahu anhu wa ardaha says, okay, we'll give you some money. We'll lend you some money. She took the money, she went to different places to sell and buy, and she had some good business. And one day she decided to go to her son, Muawiyah. When she decided to go to her son, Muawiyah, she knew that Abu Sufyan is coming. Then she sent for her son. She said to Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu wa arda. Said to Muawiyah, Muawiyah, now, what do you do when your father is coming? Don't give him from Umar's money, but I'll send you some money to give him from this money. Because Umar is very tough. He will ask you. She knows Umar radiallahu anhu wa arda. So she sent him, Muawiyah, plenty of money. It was actually everything. And then he gave it to his father. Then Abu Sufyan was asking Hind, what happened to your business? She said, no, it's going all right, alhamdulillah. We benefited, etc., etc. When he returned back, And Abu Sufyan was the guarantee. He was actually the guarantor for him to return the money back. So he guaranteed that to Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, when they returned back, then Umar radiallahu anhu asked Muawiyah, where did you give the money from? Where did you give your father from? I mean, Umar is very, very strict radiallahu anhu. Then he told him. You see how she knew that Umar would do that? And then he said, all right. Then, because he asked also Muawiyah, Abu Sufyan said, the first he asked Abu Sufyan, did you get this money from? He said, from my son. Son, where did you get this money from? From my mother. And he knew that his mother took the money from, she lent it from my Bayt al-Muslimin. Now, the period finished, and he, Umar radiallahu anhu said to Hind, now return the money. He said, wallahi, I don't have that much money to return. And he said, well, the guarantor is Abu Sufyan. Come here. We'll keep you till she repays. And it was repaid almost from the same money that she paid to Muawiyah. Now, this lady radiallahu anha is very, very, very amazing in the way she responds, especially in Arabic, to the people, and also when she was praising the family of Quraysh, and she was praising also when they left Uhud and killed many people. They said, well, this time is for the time that we did during the days of Badr. Now we could be having our heads high because we did what we did to you. Now, Hind radiallahu anha wa ardaha, as we said, after she embraced Islam, everything almost was removed from her heart which is against Islam, and replaced love, affection for the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said a hadith. I remember this hadith and I repeatedly say it. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "An-nasu ma'adin, khiyaruhum fil jahiliyyah, khiyaruhum fil Islam, idha faqih." People are different. They're just like from different nations and from different places and different in nature. Just like minerals. Hadith is actually using minerals. They're different. خيارهم في الجاهلية, the best of them pre-Islam would be the best after Islam if they understand. Now think of all of the Sahaba, all of them are new convert to Islam. They just embrace Islam. Abu Bakr embraces all of them. All of the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Those who are actually not known very much, are actually youngsters or born in Islam, they did contribute of course, but not as much as those who embraced Islam during the days of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this lady radiallahu anha wa ardaha, of course, after embracing Islam, you could just imagine that everything she did, and she told Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she discussed this with Abu Sufyan, because Abu Sufyan said to her, when she wanted to embrace Islam, after you've done what you've done, because she did something outrageous against Hamza radiallahu anhu wa ardaha. It was narrated that she cut Hamza's abdominal and took his liver, and wanted to lick it, to eat it, but she couldn't. She spat it off. She couldn't eat it. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so angry with that, with what they did, especially not only with Hamza, with many people of the Sahaba. Now this hatred is changed into love for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and for Islam. Now, after, of course, embracing Islam and being with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for quite a few, almost a year and a half, and then being with the Sahaba of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the ones very close to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, she radiallahu anha wa ardha continued to advise Muawiyah radiallahu anha wa ardha very well, because she knew that Muawiyah will have a future. And if this person, Muawiyah, will do good and treat good and deal with others in a good way, that person will be also a continuation of her offsprings. She brought Muawiyah in the best manner. One example of her upbringing to Muawiyah radiallahu anhu arda. Muawiyah, when he became the Khalifa, we talk about the thread of Muawiyah, Sha'rat Muawiyah. This Muawiyah radiallahu anhu arda, he knew how to deal with people. Ibn Zubayr, Abdullah ibn Zubayr radiallahu anhu arda, one day wrote a letter to Muawiyah, telling Muawiyah that your people, Muawiyah, to Muawiyah, just like this. To Muawiyah, your people took my land. Return it back, or. And he sent the letter. Then Muawiyah called his son, Yazid. And he said to Yazid, what do you think of this? He said, what do you think? We send an army. The beginning of the army in Medina, and the end of it is just near us, in Damascus. We deal with him. We can't just accept this. He said, no, not like this. You don't take people like this. You don't win people like this. Then he wrote for Abdullah ibn Zubayr. He said, we've heard from the son of the son of the disciple, the son of the disciples of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, referring to Zubayr, that he is angry with one of us, one of the emirs, that they took his land. Let him know that I will leave the land for him. And we don't want the son of the disciple Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be angry with us. And he signed it and sent it. Then Zubayr, the next one, sent him to Amir al-Mu'mineen. This is the way he won people, radiallahu anhu, to Amir al-Mu'mineen, to the Amir of believers. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for what you did. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you more and more wisdom and response. I knew that you will be responding in a good way. I don't want the land, you can keep it. But I wanted to make sure that we have a good Khalifa. Or other words that he mentioned. Then he called Yazid. And then he said to Yazid, look at the answer. Now the first letter was without anything to Muawiyah and nothing else. The second one, just like glorifying Muawiyah radiallahu anhu arda. This is the way you can win people not with fighting them, by the way. You win people with dealing with them. Dealing with them, you win them. Fighting them, you don't win them. If you win them through force, you're not actually winning them. You're suppressing them. But if you win them through dealing with them and convincing them and making them your friend, that's it. The most dangerous enemy, the most dangerous sword, or the most dangerous weapon against the enemy is to befriend the enemy and to diffuse the tension. Look at Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How did he marry from different tribes? He married from them to diffuse the tension. When he married from the Jews, Safiya, after that there was no war between Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and them. Stopped. It was only later during the days of Umar radiallahu anhu, when something happened and he told them, when they killed someone, he told them, just leave the place. Now, to diffuse it is the most important thing. That's why Muawiyah radiallahu anhu learned a lot from his mother, Hind radiallahu anhu. She brought him with a good character, generous character, as also with utmost way of dealing with others, and very intelligent. His dealing with Ali radiallahu anhu was of the most intelligent way of dealing with another man. Very intelligent. Radiallahu anhu. Now with this we finish talking about this great lady, radiallahu anhu. She died at the 14th year of Hijrah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the days of Umar radiallahu anhu, with only 5 or so years in Islam, but with a very effective life to come after her, especially for her son Muawiyah radiallahu anhu arda. And from Muawiyah, there's a generation of Bani Umayyah who ruled for almost a reign of around till about 130 something. Jazakumullah khair. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ala Muhammad.